Good morning. To friends new and indeed not quite so new, a very, very warm welcome to worship today. Today, of course, marks the first of our joint services together, and it is a genuine privilege and a delight to be sharing this worship with you. We are online today. We are streaming to our friends near and far. So a special word to those who are joining us from Littlewood Court and to our friends and neighbours who are joining us from their homes. We are one church in Christ, and it is good for us to be here today. Just before we listen to the choir, there are one or two practical intimations and things which would be good to mention. First of all, the practicalities of where to find a toilet, should you wish it, because these are the important things in life. We have one toilet here in Echt, and it's through the left-hand door there, just near the front door into your left. There is a jug of water at the back of the church and cups. If you would like water at any point during the service, we are very informal here and very flexible. Please just go to the back and help yourself. Tea and coffee is going to be served at the close of the service over in the village hall, which is directly across the road from the church. If you're able to stay behind, even just for a little while, please do so. We would love you to stay, and we would also love to make acquaintances with the people that we haven't met today. The Blair Daff Chapel of Geary plant sale was yesterday. It seems a long time ago. And I've been asked to let you know that the amount raised was an incredible £1,267. And I believe Andrew says £200 of that came from Stella's stall. So that is a phenomenal amount of money. And just in case you think you're off the hook, I believe there are tomato plants still available. So by the end of coffee time, we expect the total to have gone up even further by the time you relieve Stella of her tomato plants this morning. I'm looking at the Presbytery Clerk sitting over there. We have to read an intimation across the Presbytery. It's to do with our Presbytery planning. And I'm required to read this to you this week, and then you'll hear it again in your churches next week. It's a citation to the congregations of the Presbytery of Gordon. Notice is hereby given that in connection with the Presbytery Mission Plan, the Presbytery Plan Review Group will present the proposed buildings categorisation of the new Presbytery Mission Plan to the Presbytery of Gordon at a special meeting on the 7th of June 2022. Each congregation is cited to attend in its own interest. The Presbytery will meet to consider this matter at Inverurie West Church on Tuesday, the 7th of June at 7:30 p.m. Congregations can address the Presbytery through their Presbytery elder or minister or interim moderator or a designated spokesperson, and all will be heard. Each congregation will be limited to speak for 5 minutes as per the standing orders of Presbytery. By the order of the Presbytery, Ewan Glenn, Presbytery Clerk. I think you'll probably be aware of the background to this latest announcement, and there's some background information here, and just for clarity, I'm going to read it very quickly. It was hoped that the final draft of the mission plan would be available to be agreed at our June meeting, but unfortunately that's no longer going to be the case due to the confusion and questions raised by the Presbytery Plan Review Group and the Faith Nurture Forum and the Assembly Trustees. The General Assembly has acknowledged that this matter requires more investigation, and so we're left to ponder the outcome of such conversations. These conversations with the central church are about ministry numbers. It's not about buildings. And so to save longer delays in our planning within the Presbytery of Gordon, what's going to happen is that the final draft of the status of each building in Presbytery, which is the church buildings, hall buildings, not the manses, will be put forward for discussion and approval. Once the document is available, it's going to be circulated to congregations through the Presbytery elder, minister or interim moderator to look at prior to the meeting on the 7th of June. If anyone is looking for guidance, the clerk can offer independent help or advice, and by luck, the clerk will be available at coffee time. So there you go.
And not for too long.
And then it finishes, please be aware it's only the building issue that will be competent for discussion on the 7th of June, not the previous Presbytery mission plan. So in short, the next Presbytery meeting is talking and trying to agree the decision over buildings, not the number of ministers. There, and with that piece of formal business out of the way, I'm delighted now to introduce the members of our pop-up choir who are conveniently located upstairs in the balcony. They're going to stand and sing for us the words of our introit, "All over the world, the Spirit is moving." We're going to remain seated, but you are most welcome when you get the hang of the tune to join the choir. To our service sheet, to the words of our call to worship. God alone is our refuge and hope. our shelter and protection. From our very first breath to our last, God's love and compassion never fails. So come, lift our voices in praise to God. Bear witness to God's acts of mercy and love. Proclaim God's glory to all who will listen. Let's worship God together. We join together our hearts and our voices in praise of God as we stand to sing the hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Members of the church go away and have even more fun than the adults are going to be having, I would like to invite them to come forward down to the front because they're going to help us teach a song to the grown-ups in just a minute. I know it's a song that you know and some of our grown-ups won't know. Would anybody like to come down? Come down to the front. Thank you.
come upstairs? No?
I could see.
Could you see them? Look, they're waving. Look at us. There's at least 20 members in the choir, and the seats upstairs are filled right to the very back. So that's a lot of people. Well, today in church, this is a really, really special day for us. And it's a special day, I think, for three reasons. And I've had to write them down because even I'm not convinced, I can always remember. The first and most important reason is that today is all about making new friends. When you look out at all these people in church, do you know all of their names? I don't know all of their names. So we're here today to make new friends. We're also here today to learn from one another. And we're about to teach the grown-ups a song that I know some of them. I think our people here in Eton Midnar would know this song. But I know you know it. So we're here to learn together. And of course, we're here today because today is an important beginning. Today we are beginning to grow our churches into an even bigger church, that can praise God and can help one another. Jesus told us different stories all about small beginnings, how important things can begin from the tiniest seed and grow into something marvelous and big. And here in my hand, well, he told us stories about mustard seeds, but I don't have any mustard seeds. But I do have seeds. How did you get seeds for something? That was my punchline. Have you seen sunflower seeds before? You've planted yours already. And you know what we've done today? We've given every single person in church a sunflower seed. And over in the hall, just shortly, you're going to be planting your own sunflower seeds as well. And by the time we all meet together again in Kintore, at the end of July, I'm hoping we will have some sunflowers. So what do you have to do to make the seed grow? Do you know? You've got to plant it and water it and look after it. I'm going to plant ours at the front of the church. And for the grown-ups, it might interest you to know that the sunflower is the national, or one of the national flowers of the country of Ukraine. So by planting our sunflowers this year, I'm hoping it will be fun, but it will also have a symbolism for those of us perhaps that are that little bit older. Sunflowers have always been a symbol, though, of hope and brightness in the world. So it's appropriate that that's what we're going to do today. And as our sunflowers grow, perhaps it might even remind us that we are growing together as a church. Now on the packet, I managed to clear out Fox Lane of sunflower packets on Friday. These are American giants. The children have American giants, but because they ran out on big sunflowers, some of the sunflowers you have might actually be smaller. So if you have a sunflower that turns out to look a little bit on the stunted side, please be aware it's not necessarily your ineptitude at gardening. Well, we're going to be thinking about small beginnings today, and although we're thinking about small beginnings, it doesn't actually feel like that small beginning when we see all these wonderful faces in church today. Are you ready to sing? The band is going to help us learn a new song. If you jump to your feet, let's see if we can teach the grown-ups in church. I'm going to give you some of these seats back to take away.
Right, now listen, folks, there's much more to this than just singing a song. because you've actually got to do some actions with this song. Now, I don't know if all the kids are going to know the actions, but I think Sheila learned them the other night when we had a practice. So it goes like this, right? Our God, the words are, our God is a great big God. So our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Now, if you can, you can also clap there. Now, you have to be in time to clap. So our God is a great big God. Clap, clap. Right, let's try that. Our God is the great big God. And so on, right? And then we go into the verse bit, or the other bit, which goes, he's higher than a skyscraper, so you've got to reach as high as you can. And then he's deeper than a submarine, so you've got to go right down low. And he's wider than the universe, and beyond my wildest dreams, okay? And he's known me, and he's loved me. Okay, so he's known me and he's loved me since before the world began. How wonderful to be a part of God's amazing plan. Right now, that's a clapping bit again. So it's timing. It's all about timing. So just listen to the intro and then we'll sing it together, okay?
Is a great big God, clap, clap. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand.
Higher,
higher.
You should be proud, because that was really good. That outstrips the Kimney lot any time. Right, okay then. So, to do this properly, you've got to be able to breathe, so you need to stand up, and we'll do the whole thing right through from start to finish. Okay? And choir, give us a good lead here, okay?
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hand. He is higher than the sky, and he is wider than God is the great big God. Our God is the great big God. Hold us
Into this place of tradition and familiarity, we bring the ordinariness of our day-to-day existence, the pleasures, the irritations, our routine, our aspirations. Into this place of forgiveness and acceptance, we bring our misjudgments and our mistakes, the words we cannot take back, and the things left unattended, the very things, in fact, of our God-given humanity. Into this place of generosity and wonder, we bring our gifts and abilities, those parts of ourselves and our lives that we would offer to others. We bring all that inspires us, the things we would dare to dream and wish for, the unsolicited generosity of others, and the burgeoning friendships and alliances that arise from the unlikeliest of beginnings. Whatever our reasons for being here, if we can but allow it, this can be for us a place of transformation, a meeting place where the godly and mysterious become part of the human, and where the human becomes part of the godly. And if we have the courage to allow it, this can be for us a moment in time of change and renewal, where whatever we offer can find a way to blossom, and where whatever troubles us can find a sense of resolution, peace, or new perspective. And so for a moment, we give ourselves permission just to sit at peace, without expectation and without agenda, without pressure, without judgment. We give ourselves permission to leave aside our titles or responsibilities and to find in the silence an appreciation for who we really are as children of God. As generations of people before us have done, today we gather our voices and prayers mingling with those that echo down the centuries and resonate still. And yet we come just as we are, an intricate mix of brokenness and wholeness, of confusion and clarity, of perfection and imperfection. People made wonderfully and mystifyingly in the image of God. We come in the faith that nothing we have done or would ever do could be enough to separate us from the love of God. We come in the faith that God hears the prayers spoken on our lips and the unspoken prayers deep within our hearts. which we offer now to God in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The band is going to accompany us now as we sing together the words of the hymn, All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord.
The word of God. Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 22. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Alistair. We're going to sing our next hymn now. It's the beautiful hymn, O Lord, You Search Me and You Know Me, words that come from Psalm 139. A sermon that consists of two sentences and approximately 50 words. Well, that's every congregation's dream. A sermon already written and ready to go. To those of us in the congregation that can imagine that, it's every preacher's dream. But actually, it's not a million miles from what Luke describes in the narrative that we heard Alistair read for us this morning. Having spent 40 days in the desert, Jesus has made his way to his hometown in Nazareth, where on the Sabbath he went to the synagogue, and it was the first time that people there had heard him teach. Searching through the scroll, he found the words from the beginning of Isaiah 61, and he proceeded to read aloud the two sentences. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then the bombshell. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, not yesterday, not sometime to come, not maybe, not with conditions, not if you believe the right things, not if you subscribe to the right theology, simply today, right now, here, on the spot, fulfilled. And it was a bombshell. It would have sounded both shocking and blasphemous, and that's a deadly combination. That's akin to lighting a touch paper, which is what happened, because that whole episode turned out to be so provocative that people wanted to kill Jesus for it. But if you want a 50-word sermon, there is none better. If you want to understand what faith in action looks like, this is it. If you want a glimpse of God incarnate, then listen again to these words. At this year's General Assembly, the retiring Principal Clerk, George White, said that the two questions that had been central to the whole of his ministry were, firstly, what is God wanting to do now? And secondly, how is God wanting us to do it? The what and the how. Two questions that most of the Church of Scotland is preoccupied with at the present moment. The what and the how, in fact, two questions that are busy shaping our future together. So what about the answers? In Isaiah's words, as quoted by Jesus, I think we have an answer to the what. As to the how, I wonder whether the writer and blogger Elaine Ambrose can offer us something to think about. Because she wonders what those words of Jesus from Isaiah might look like in today's world. Jesus tells us that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to bring good news to the poor, to endow people with a sense of worth that has nothing to do with the size of their bank accounts, their careers, or their social status, to bring living water to those suffering droughts or poisoned rivers, to dismantle our systems that make profit more important than people. And all because the Spirit of the Lord has sent him to bring good news to the poor. Jesus goes on to say that the Spirit of the Lord has sent him to give release to the captives, to free addicts from their needles and bottles and iPhones, to give a sense of belonging to the alienated and disenfranchised, to save us from having to prove ourselves all the time, to remove people's passion and desire for the kind of cheap goods that can only come from child labor, to forgive the sinner, and all because the Spirit of the Lord has sent him to bring release to the captives. And then Jesus says he's also come to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to change forever the way we see those who are different from us, to allow us to see ourselves as God sees us and recognize that there really is no them, there is only us, to show us how human sin tears at the fabric of all humanity, to give us a glimpse of heaven in the here and now, and to show us, to really show us that the kingdom of God is at hand, and all because the Spirit of the Lord has sent him to bring recovery of sight to the blind. The Spirit of the Lord has sent him to bring freedom to the oppressed, the overworked, the underappreciated, the last chosen, the unlovely, the despised and unseen, the overly proud, and to those who think they are so very small. all of us here this morning, each and every one of us, we are disciples. We are imitators of Christ. Even with our differences and in our uniqueness, we are united by our faith and in our desire to serve God and to serve one another. Are we as a church, as a community of faith, as individuals, ready to adopt for ourselves those words that Jesus spoke? Are we ready to accept that in the power of the Spirit, we are called to bring good news to the poor and indeed to all people? Are we courageous enough to advocate release to those in a whole manner of different prisons? Are we ready to have our eyes opened as to how the Spirit is working amongst us and through us, and where it might just be that God's Spirit is leading us? What is God wanting to do now? How is God wanting us to do it? Today, this minute, in the weeks ahead. Those are the questions I'm going to leave us to ponder. But today, for God's word that inspires us, for God's Spirit within us, and for God's presence around us, we give thanks. Amen. The band is going to help us again and help teach us our next hymn, which I think might be new, certainly new to some of the folk here. I know it will be well known elsewhere, but we sing together how good and how pleasant it is when we all live in unity.
We
going to begin our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession today with a brief word of dedication for our lovely new church banner. On the first Sunday of the month, we worship at Midmar, and of course, next week is Pentecost. So, and we'll not be in this building, so it seemed appropriate that we would recognise Ruth's work, who's sitting up in the gallery there today. These words are by the American ministers Eileen Karpeles and Roger Jones. Out of wood, steel, and stone, the people build a home. Out of the work of their hands, hearts, and minds, the people fashion symbols to adorn their home and make it a place of meeting, celebration, sanctuary, and worship. We dedicate this banner today. May it bring joy, understanding, and curiosity to all who gather here. Let us pray. We lay to one side the many things in our minds that are clamoring for our attention. And we take a second to sit at peace with ourselves and with the world, with appreciation we think of how God is directing our lives and using us for his work in the world. We think of the people who've crossed our paths this week, in whom we've seen glimpses of God's love and compassion. And we give thanks for the people who unexpectedly have become a source of inspiration or comfort, wisdom, or strength to us. For our own journeys of faith, with their richness of twists and turns, certainties and uncertainties, we give thanks. There is much for which we would and should give thanks. People, places, moments, memories, belonging, shelter, pleasure, laughter, relationships, faith, community, tradition. And as we give thanks for the mundane and the not so mundane things of life, so too we make our prayers for others. Loving God, we bring to mind those people whose daily fight is for justice, goodness, truth, health, well-being. The people whose stories are told by the world's media. And the people known only to us or to God. We pray for the world's leaders. And for people everywhere who have the opportunity or means to exert power or influence others for the better. We pray for people living in unstable environments, whether at a national level, politically, geographically, or even within their own homes. We pray for those attracted by the values of a world which forgets to value the underprivileged and which offers neatly packaged answers and quick fixes. We pray for those who've forgotten how to love or who have never known love. And of course, we offer our prayers for the people who've come to our attention this week. Knowing that God listens to us with love and concern, what we would pray for others, so too we pray for ourselves and for one another sitting here. Loving God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we offer to God all that we have and all that we are in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
Oh,
May God's word be in our hearts. May God's word be on our lips. May God's word direct our feet. On this day and in all the days to come, may God's word be the life we live. And now may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Spirit, rest upon us and on all God's people everywhere, now and always.